for joining us this morning for our special virtual board meeting. As is our custom, let's observe a moment of silence to reflect on the importance of the decision we will make this morning. We will then recite the Pledge to the Flag. If possible, please rise. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Looking at the roll call, I know Mr. Bensel was unable to join us today, and I believe that all the other board members have joined us on Zoom. So thank you all for making yourselves available today. And we'll move to the approval of the agenda. Could I please have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda as is.
Thank you, Mrs. Heaston. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of approving the agenda as presented, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, our agenda is approved. And now we have the first of two opportunities for public comment. We certainly welcome comments from those of you who have registered to join us on Zoom. Please know, however, that we have a very limited range of options. By 5 p.m. today, we must attest to one of two alternatives. Number one, that we agree to adhere to the new mask orders that were recently handed down by the state, and that we agree to follow newly issued recommendations on the closure of individual school buildings when certain criteria on case thresholds are exceeded. And Dr. Dahl will explain that in detail a little later. Or option two, which requires the entire district to offer virtual education only until such time as your county moves from the severe status to a moderate status. The administration is recommending option one. We will be voting to approve or disapprove their recommendation. So now, if you wish to speak, please select the raise hand option on your screen. When it's your turn to speak, the webinar host will unmute your microphone and you'll be able to state and spell your name for the record and to share your address. And I would ask that you please limit your comments to 2 minutes or less if possible. Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, there's one hand raised. The raised hand is Christopher Rodkey.
Okay.
You should be able to unmute yourself to speak.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I'd like to speak in support and endorsement of the recommendations.
Excuse me, could you state and spell your name and give your address, please?
My name is Christopher Rodkey, R-O-D-K-E-Y, 237 West Main Street, Dallas Town.
Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'd like to speak in support of an endorsement of the recommendations put forward by the attestation document. It's clear that our community is not taking the mandate seriously. This has led to the spiking of virus in the state. I'm asking our community leaders to not submit to the coded partisan and anti-science rhetoric that is being promoted by our state leaders, two of which were once members of this school board and sat in your seats. I'm asking you as community leaders to lead by example and lead by logic. You're elected to represent the people, but the reason why we elect individuals is to evade situations where public outrage is misinformed, and we know intentionally obfuscated by the language of other leaders in our community. So I'm asking you today, just as I did in August, to act out of interest of public health, regardless of the ultimate decision of what you decide in this letter. This is a pandemic, it is not partisan, it is not about popular opinion, it is about public health. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, the next hand raised is Louis Palacio. Louis, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Louis Palacio. Honestly, I'm new.
Excuse me, could you please spell your last name and give your address?
Sure, P-A-L-A-C-I-O. I live out of state, but my son goes to one of your schools in Dallas Town. My address is 17 Manoridge Road, Manorville, New York, 11949. From what I understand, you're recommending to close the schools by necessity, correct? Is that what we what the recommendation is?
Yes, our public comment is not really a question and answer session, but right. As I stated earlier, I believe that the administration is recommending that we abide by the option that only when necessary, as defined by the state, will we close a particular building.
Excellent. Yes, because my concern is that my son is special needs, and going virtual would just be horrible for him. But I agree with the gentleman that spoke before us. It's a matter of, general health and well-being. So I would just like to also, give my go ahead for that's an excellent thing with the recommendation you guys are doing. Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, the next hand raised is Michelle Erickson. Michelle, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Thank you. This is Michelle Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. I live at 755 Windrush Drive, and I have four children in your school district. I'd like to speak in support of keeping an in-person learning option with the attestation. There are guidelines from the government, CDC and FDA, on how to have safe openings on the school. And I believe the school district is already meeting those guidelines, already taking precautions. For the education and socialization of children, the American Academy of Pediatrics supports children going back to school. I also support this. The risk for children actually having COVID is very small. They tend to have mild or even asymptomatic disease, and I have strong support that they must go back to the school in person for a better learning experience. Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, the next hand raised is Eva Sanabria. Eva, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Yes, good morning. My name is Eva Sanabria, and I am the aunt of a special needs student.
Excuse me, could you please give your address and spell your last name?
Okay, last name is spelled S-A-N-A-B-R-I-A. I live outside of the state. I live in New York City. My address is 105-28 65th Avenue, Forest Hills, New York, 11375. So I was wondering, and I had a couple of questions as you spoke about some of the closures of the schools, and obviously a big concern to all of us is trying to ensure that there is the safety and the health of everyone, which should come first. So with, in speaking about students with special needs, how will they be getting, if the school does shut down, how will they be getting their services? Because for students with special needs, it is important for them not to have that interruption of services in order for them to meet their goals. Their goals have to be met during that school year. And if the child is already behind, how will that child ever be able to catch up? It's already difficult for children who do not have special needs to catch up already because of the COVID slide. How will this then be handled for those students and for the parents of those students? Like, what supports will they be getting? Because in order for a child at different age level, they can only stay a certain amount of time during remote learning. So a kindergarten child will most likely only get about 30 minutes of education, making sure that he gets speech, making sure they get OT, all of the services that are critical, specifically for my nephew, who I am extremely concerned because he is already behind. So I was wondering, how will this be something that you will be able to handle? And looking at a child as an individual and looking at their IEP goals and looking at their profile.
I think the answer to that depends upon which of the options we choose. And hopefully your questions will be answered during the presentation. And if not, feel free to have the parents of the child reach out to the district administration and building principal for clarification. And thank you for your comments.
After today's meeting, will we know what schools will be shut down, or will the parents be informed via email?
Mr. Blevins, if you may allow me to chime in.
Sure.
Just first and foremost, I want to reiterate something Mr. Blevins shared, and this is very clearly dictated through board policy. The public comment section is not a time for Q&A. With that said, as Mr. Blevins did share, we're really required, and we're going to be spending time reviewing what those two options entail. So for those that may have specific questions, I think following today's session, if there are outstanding questions that exist, then certainly we can reach out to any one of the administrative team. This just unfortunately is not the format for that. Additionally, for public comment today, we certainly have over 313 individuals participating in Zoom, as well as, I'm sorry, in live stream, as well as many members for Zoom. So we want to respect their time and respect the time of our board. So we will provide clarity today on that piece and follow up with individual writing to parents and guardians following today's meeting.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, we do have a couple more hands raised. Next hand raised is Christine Kusler-Womack. Christine, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Good morning. My name is Christine Kusler-Womack, Kusler-Womack, and I'm at 14 South Park Street in Dallas Town. I'm a substitute in the school district as well as a parent of a first grader at DTE. And I am in support of the in-person learning because I think our schools have done a great job at adhering to the mask mandates. The students are responding well. And I, at least in the level of my child, I can't speak to the high school or the middle school, but our elementary schools have done really good in keeping the cases down and parents have been diligent. We've had one case at DTE and that parent had the kid out a while before, you know, suspected. So I think that we've done a lot to keep ahead of this. And I think that parents from whom I've spoken to really want their kids in school, and those that don't have taken the option of the virtual learning. And that's great for them if that's what works for them. My son is six and he does not have the attention span to sit in front of a computer screen. We also share custody. So there's an inconsistency between the two households to maintain his education in a virtual setting. And I think that I'm not alone in this kind of scenario with the way the society is today. And I think that if we could continue the in-person learning while sticking with the CDC guidelines and the recommendations and doing what we have been doing. And then if we need to move virtual based on the governor's guidelines, we do it then. But allowing the kids to have that socialization and that in-person learning is going to be most beneficial for them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, next hand raised is Rose Beal. Rose, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Rose Beal. I live at 306 Cherry Street, York, Pennsylvania. I believe the kids should go to school. I don't know what the difference is between Red Lion and Dallastown, but I know Red Lion High School has not had any cases. I drive kids to school. I see people walking around with bottles in their hand, with cleaning supplies in their other hand, and going through the school. I don't understand why Dallastown is so much higher when Red Lion is following the same guidelines that has already been put out there, but yet they have no confirmed cases whatsoever. So maybe we need to take a page out of Red Lion's handbook and follow some of the things that they're doing because they're having no problems. I chose my son chose to do live school. And I think he should have that right to do so. I think too many people are in the pot and making too many decisions for the parents. The parents have problems when they can't go to work too. You can't just change things on a dime and expect everybody's life to coincide with that. Doesn't happen. So maybe we need to think about also what it does to the parents as well as the children. And maybe we need to talk to Red Lion and find out what they're doing differently, that they have such no cases whatsoever. What they're doing differently than the guidelines already maybe. And we supposedly closed on Wednesdays to do extra cleaning in the schools. Well, obviously that's not happening. If we're having such an increase in the middle schools and the high schools, and the high school Red Lion doesn't have any. So we need to figure out what we're doing wrong or what's not happening, because our kids need to go to school, not virtually, but live. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, the next hand raised is Aislinn Cunningham. Aislinn, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Good morning. It's Icy Cunningham. You guys know me. My address is 250 Coventry Road, Dallastown. I actually want to speak specifically to the attestation, because that's what this meeting's about today. I can appreciate the comments of people wanting the schools to stay open, but that isn't what this meeting's about today. This meeting is, are we, as the school board president, Dr. Dahl, going to sign this mandate? And let's look at the mandate. All it is saying is basically, are schools following the health and safety recommendations and can they attest that they're doing so? I believe that Dallastown is, but like trying to put toothpaste back in a tube, the virus is spreading through our middle school and high school. I supported that they went online because we have kids who are coming in and spreading it, and we're having a hard time staffing our schools. So we have to look at that. I know people keep talking about their kids going to school, but who do they think is teaching their kids? These are adults who are more susceptible to getting the virus. lots of schools around you are closed. When our kids are out of school, they're participating in activities that are bringing the virus into school. And we have to look at that. Do I believe that Dallas Town is doing what they need to do to keep things clean, to keep things mandating the mask of the students and doing all that? I don't think you should have a problem signing it. But the reality is we cannot control what's happening outside of school. And the school is the one place where everybody comes together. All those households that are supposed to be separate are coming together at school. So I support whatever decision you guys make today. And I very much want you to look at what they are saying here. This meeting isn't about whether schools are going to stay open or not. It's about whether you guys are going to sign that we are doing that you guys are doing everything you can in Dallas Town to keep our kids safe. And I will support Dr. Dole and his recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins' next hand raised is Jackie Stevens. Jackie, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Good morning, this is Jackie Stevens, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, and I am at 224 Teela Drive. my comment is that I am in support of in-person learning. My understanding based on the last board meeting was that with the exception of one situation in the middle school, additional cases that have happened in schools have not occurred through spreading within the school. It's whether it's students or teachers are contracting the virus, they do test positive, but the spread is not occurring in the actual school itself. So that to me is an indication that we are taking the necessary precautions, students and teachers in school are taking the necessary precautions, and our custodial staff is doing a very good job of keeping things clean. You know, most of the spread does occur person to person. So I do think the district is doing a very good job of following the recommendations and the things that need to occur. So as long as that continues to be the case, I think it makes sense for the district to continue to offer in-person learning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, the next hand raised is Jean Druck. Jean, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Hey, this is Jean Druck, D-R-U-C-K. I am at 1353 Camp Betty Washington Road. And I am a van driver for Reliance Transportation. I have high school, middle school, and I have York Township Elementary special needs kiddos. And I can most certainly tell you they need to be in school. But the issue is, what about the drivers? What about those van drivers? What about those bus drivers? What about the teachers who are exposed every day? And yes, Dallas Town is doing what they need to do. Reliance Transportation is doing what they need to do as far as sanitizing, wearing masks. It's done every day. We do it every day. And I just want to say that Dallas Town is doing what they need to do. I don't know what comes next for these special needs kiddos, and I feel for them. But I also have a heart for the drivers and the teachers and the staff and administration that is also exposed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, at this time, there are no other hands raised.
Okay, thank you very much. And thank you all for your very sincere comments. Very much appreciated. And now we'll move to a presentation by Dr. Dahl and I believe Dr. Heffer to go over the details of the vote that is coming.
Very good. Well, thank you, Mr. Blevins. I'd also like to thank our community for those that came out on a rainy morning or stayed in your home in a rainy morning to offer comment and perspective. Obviously, this has been a great debate, not just in our district, but across the county, across the state, and certainly across the nation and world. And so Dallastown is not just subject to this. These are discussions that are occurring all over the place, and it speaks to the engagement of our community and the feedback. And if you kind of boil it down to the least common denominator, they're all rooted in the fact that we all care about our kids and our students, and we want to make right decisions. And these are difficult times to make those decisions. So just by way of background, I would like to share this past Monday. So it was Monday, November 23rd. Governor Wolf and Pennsylvania Secretary of Education of Health Levin issued an order requiring the superintendent and board president, Mr. Blevins, and really every district across the Commonwealth to sign an attestation form. So out of respect to our board, Mr. Blevins and I scheduled today's meeting in order to gauge board opinion on the matter. I will say this, Mr. Blevins and I could have simply signed the form. It does not require board authorization, but out of respect to board, but also out of respect to our community, we wanted to provide this opportunity. And I'll give Mr. Blevins great credit as board president to really be transparent on seeking your feedback prior to us signing. In essence, as already shared, we have two limited options. So if we wish to continue in-person instruction, Mr. Blevins and I must attest to complying with the updated orders related to requirements, as mentioned in public comment, universal face coverings, in addition to following the revised recommendations for how schools address identification of cases of COVID-19. The other option would immediately put an end to face-to-face learning today and only permit our district to offer full remote instruction. So it is, in essence, a decision related to, do we continue with following orders or do we move to a virtual option full-time? In PDE style, the form is due no later than 5 p.m. today. So failure, and this is important. So the feedback and discussion for today is critical because failure to return the form today by 5 p.m. would result in an immediate suspension of all in-person instruction and extracurricular activities. So the timeliness, we were hoping, we found out late last week, in order to offer a public meeting, we needed to notify the paper, which takes 3 days. And so that's why we're really limited to today's meeting and discussion. So as such, the purpose of today's meeting is pretty simple, to review aspects of the two orders included in the form and to provide an opportunity for Mr. Blevins and me to ascertain the will of the board on the matter. It should be noted that complying with the two new orders does not waive previous orders. So I think we're right now at about iteration 10 of orders that have come out since the beginning of the pandemic. So in essence, what we signed today supplements but does not supplant previous PDE and DOH requirements. So the first, if we move to the next slide, the first order of business is the strengthened mask order. And about 2 weeks ago, we received an updated order. And if we are to continue in-person instruction, we must ensure compliance with the recently revised order. This always requires face coverings to be worn and meet specific criteria. The only flexibility provided is that masks can be briefly removed by students and staff if 6 feet socially distancing in places when eating, drinking, or taking a mask break. Or in my case, for instance, I'm in an office in a confined room. As a staff member, we are permitted to do so when the doors are closed. Additionally, all students and adults, and this is a big one, all students and adults involved in any extracurricular activity must comply with the face mask mandate. So this includes sports, even during practice and competition, and provides our student participants with very limited exceptions. So play that out for an example. We have wrestlers, we have basketball players, we have swimmers that they must, in essence, outside of when you're in the swimming pool, they must be wearing a mask at all time. And that's during competition. So that will have a huge impact. And if we agree to stay open, we are agreeing to following clearly those mask mandates. The next slide then covers the level of transmission. And this is not necessarily new, but it is something that is going to be a major driver for our district. So if we remain open to in-person learning, we must closely monitor York County level of COVID-19 transmission, which is updated weekly. So you can see the updated totals in the bottom right corner of the slide. Currently, the county remains in the substantial level of transmission. We've been there for several weeks. I anticipate personally, and I think many of you do, that we will continue in the substantial level for the upcoming weeks and months. This includes an incident rate of 325 individuals out of 100,000 residents that are deemed positive with COVID-19, as well as a county 12.2% positivity rate. So the chart does provide some oversight of how do we get to a moderate or low, but based on these trends, we're clearly in a substantial phase at this point in time. As we will see in the upcoming slides, should we sign the form, the attestation form, and signal that we will continue with in-person learning, the county's level of transmission has clear ramification on our operations moving forward. So in essence, this has been around for some time. We've been in substantial, but by signing the form, these recommendations now become requirements that we must closely comply. And in essence, it will take a great deal of local decision-making away. And if we stay in person, we must comply. So there are new, if you transition to the next slide, the recommendations, it's been a major change. And I just wanna highlight in the original August PDE recommendation chart. And really what they have established now is three distinct charts across the Commonwealth based on the overall size of building enrollment versus maintaining one chart regardless of each building's unique enrollment size. So you will recall this chart is very similar and we reviewed this publicly and with the board, but what you're seeing now is unique to a small, medium, and large size school. So simply put, districts required guidelines are now more proportional and closely aligned to building size as compared to the original recommendation chart. So this chart emphasizes small schools and it's schools that have less than 500 students. For Dallastown, this chart would be utilized for Dallastown Elementary, Leaders Heights Elementary, Loganville Springfield Elementary, and York Township Elementary. So for purposes of today, we will focus on the substantial column because that's where we currently are, and that's the box outlined in blue. So as you can observe, the number of positive cases over a 14-day period will define a great deal. So should PDE defined small building have 2 to 4 students or staff contract COVID-19 over a 14 rolling day period, we must close the building for 3 to 5 days. We must clean thoroughly and ensure close contacts are quarantined. Should 5 or more cases occur, the time of closure will increase to 14 days. So this chart really takes, again, when I say local decision-making away, we must then comply. So when we're in a situation where we have between 2 to 4 students, these 4 schools will automatically close. Now they are unique. Just because one closes does not mean the other closes. So for instance, I know Christine in public comment mentioned that Dallastown previously had one. So if they had one and another one would occur, that would potentially meet the threshold for closure. And so that's something that we have to watch very carefully. And it's for our public to understand that it really takes the decision-making away from the local decision. And it really is something, if we sign this form, we're agreeing to follow specifically, even though they're recommendations, they are in essence requirements. The next chart in the found in the slide is focuses more on medium-sized schools. And those are schools that range from about 500 to 900 students. So this chart specifically will be utilized and exclusively by Ore Valley. You'll see the chart is similar to the last, except that you will observe a 3 to 5 day closure will be required when we reach 4 to 6 positive cases over a rolling 14 day time period. And a closure of 14 days will occur when Ore Valley has 7+ positive cases over a 14 day period. So in essence, what they did is just increase the number of positive cases needed in order to set certain criteria in place. The last chart is for large schools, and that is schools that are greater than 900 students. Based on this enrollment size, that would apply to our intermediate school, our middle school, as well as our high school. And again, similar to the last two, except you'll observe a 3 to 5 day closure will be required when we reach 6 to 10 positive cases over a rolling 14 day time period. And a closure of 14 days will occur when 11+ positive cases occur over a 14 day period. So that's probably the big change by signing this form. If we would agree to continue in-person learning, we are mandated to follow these closure guidelines. And as cases occur, and these cases will occur, we saw over the holiday break, spending time with the family at Thanksgiving, we received notification of cases that could have some impact moving forward. So just know that if we do remain open, we also are at the mercy of these positive cases moving forward. The next slide then covers the concept of case investigation. Basically, this is something that has kept our team extremely busy at all hours of the day and week since the start of the school year. I think it's something that we do very well. And if we agree to continue in-person instruction, basically our district must ensure we continue to comply with case investigation requirements. This includes, but not limited to, working closely with the Department of Health and district families related to investigating, reporting positive cases, as well as communicating with district family and staff regarding periods of required isolation and quarantining. The other measure that was mentioned the next slide a few times during public comment, cleaning measures. I will say I'm very proud of our buildings and grounds team. And I think that they have done a great job in making sure that our areas are clean. Obviously, it's a challenging task, and it's a task that changes and evolves regularly. But if we continue with in-person instruction, we must do a test to meeting clear cleaning protocols, especially when a positive case is determined. So with that said, those are in essence the measures that we must agree to. So if we agree to continue with in-person instruction, that's in essence outside of the previous mandates, that's in essence what we are agreeing to. Now, what we did and pulled together for the board and for our public is just to simplify our present status related to current positive cases across the district, as to inform the board and public of our 14 rolling average total in our district. So we developed the following chart. And again, I think if you're looking through everything I reviewed so far, the big question, and it's really through public comment as well today, when will we close? When won't we close? And so the chart highlights the following. You'll see the name of each building, the fact that each building is currently in the substantial level of spread based on York County data, the number of current active cases, if you look at that third column, the number of current active cases in our district, which has been the number we have shared and kept our school community apprised of since the beginning of the school year. I've received several messages from families thanking me, but not thanking me for communicating regularly with them on these cases. That's the number that you're gonna find in column three. So it will give you a sense. The one that we're going, as specific to school closure, that we're going to have to pay attention to is the fourth column, and that's the rolling day cases. And this is the number that is applied towards our closure numbers. So you'll notice it models the number of current active cases in all areas except that of the high school. So if you look at the chart, when it comes to the, I'm sorry, let me pull that up. When it comes to current active cases at the high school is 8, the 14-day rolling total is 0. And after several discussions, and I'll give Dr. Heffler, has been on the phone several times over the break trying to receive clarity and in essence trying to figure out how do we determine a 14-day rolling total. We have been informed by the Department of Health, generally when a school closes for 14 days, which has been the case for our middle school and high school, the rolling 14-day number of cases resets to 0. So why is the high school, we have 8 cases listed active, but we're at 0, is because we've also been closed for a 14-day period, well over a 14-day period. And so in essence, that basically resets us as a district. Now, should we reopen? And that's the will of this board to resume in person. That number will continue to tick once we make that decision to reopen. And then we have to, when we hit a certain threshold, that would trigger us into closure. The number range threshold in which our district must close for a period of 3 to 5 days is also, that's that closure range, as well as the current status of each building. It should be noted, should the board's desire be to continue with in-person instruction, all Dallastown schools will be open this week, including the middle and high school, which will participate in Wildcat asynchronous learning on Wednesday and return to face-to-face instruction on Thursday. But if we do determine that we will reopen, we are also determining that we will follow clear recommendation. And Mr. Blevins and I must attest that we will follow strictly with these recommendations. So in essence, we could open one day and we could be closed the next day based on the number of cases that come forward. So for families out there that want their child to be in school, I will say that's our goal. I think every one of us agrees we want our children in school. But it will be dictated by the number of positive cases in each school. And we have done, in my opinion, and I want to give special kudos to our staff, to our administration, to our teaching staff that face on the front line every day. They have been tremendous at what they were doing. And obviously, I think overall, and I think Icy hit this, Mrs. Cunningham hit this in her public comment, or it may have been another, I apologize, that overall we have really seen the spread of COVID has come from external sources to our knowledge and our belief. So it does, in order to keep schools open, it's going to take our public and our community to also do their part to not send their child when they have a temperature or fever, to make sure that they're isolating and socially distancing, to not travel all over the place, to not host parties and events and those types of things, because that is what is setting some of these positive cases up for our district. So with that said, the next slide really, with that background in mind, is my recommendation to superintendent to submit the required attestation form to continue with in-person instruction. Now, let's just look at what our options are here. It's really, we're attesting to continue in-person instruction. This option provides, in my opinion, our district with the greatest flexibility. What it also doesn't prohibit us from doing is making a local decision at any point in time to close, should that be our preference today or down the road. So this does still allow us to make a decision locally. Let's say we want to go virtual. We want to end physical face-to-face instruction. We still have the authority to do so. I will say if we select the second option, the full remote instruction today, that limits us from that decision, and it will immediately, starting this evening at 5 p.m., immediately put our entire district in full remote learning instruction for an unlimited time period. And I don't have a clear sense from the Department of Health or from the governor how long this will occur based on the levels of transmission in York County. So when we would go to a moderate level, does that relieve us? I think there's so many questions still unknown. So my recommendation in a nutshell, continue in-person instruction. Schools will reopen. All schools will reopen. But at the same time, be very clear to the board and more importantly to our public that is, we will close when the numbers hit that threshold. And that's what Mr. Blevins and I must attest. So with that said, I'd like to turn it over perhaps now to Mr. Blevins to allow for some board questions, maybe comment and more deliberation on the matter. And then I do have two additional slides once that action item occurs that we can return to briefly just as points of information. Mr. Blevins, you are muted.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Dr. Dahl. The first thing I do want to allow time after we get a motion on the table and a second for board deliberation. But before we do that, I would ask you if any of the board members have any clarification questions that they would like to ask Dr. Dahl before we begin the deliberation process.
I've got a question.
Please go ahead.
So with the numbers that you collect for the buildings, if there's a student who is full remote already, who is an option two, as we call them, an option two student who turns up positive, has not been in the building, does that count get counted in with the building counts?
Mrs. Trout, you hired me to hire smart people, and we've hired Dr. Heffler, who's been working on this, so I'm going to turn that over to her.
Mrs. Trout, I think that's a great question, and that's why you see a differential between the current active cases and the 14-day rolling total towards closure. Students who have not had contact within the buildings due to remote learning or cyber learning, or while we were closed and they were engaged in Wildcat remote learning, do not count towards the closure matrix. We do, out of transparency, report the totals there in that column for full totals for the district for active cases. However, we delineate remote learners off of that list, and those learners who were remote and became positive over that time, they do not count towards that number, if that answers your question.
It does, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think that the communication you've had with parents to date sometimes will have that information included, but because of privacy, you can't really announce that, oh, and by the way, this was a virtual or a full cyber student that turned up positive, but you do still have to communicate out that it was a student in the district.
Absolutely. Because we also track whether or not some of our remote learners come in for specific activities and so forth. So that also delineates how we report.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Trout. Any other questions?
I have a question, Mr. Blevins.
Please.
I have one, Mr. Blevins. When we close, I know when we closed the middle school and the high school, that all extracurricular activities were also suspended. Now, will that happen when we close for these intermittent, I want to say intermittent closures, the 3 to 7 days? Will we also suspend all activities?
It's a great question, Mrs. Houston, and something that I think is important for our community to understand as well as the board. What we are attesting to when we are closed across the board. And my understanding and working with the Department of Health and PDE and getting clarification, when we hit a threshold to close, that will eliminate all in-person instruction as well as activity. So that would include sports. So I think our sports parents, our sports coaches, our sports athletes, student athletes, need to have a very clear understanding that we are at the mercy of some of these numbers. And we will have a great deal, in my opinion, interruption to some of these activities and some of these events. There were some public comments that I'll speak to now related to specialized special education services. My understanding at the same time is that that also is going to prohibit us from offering face-to-face instruction for some of our specialized programs. And you may recall, we've closed the middle school and high school for a 2-week period, but during that time, we continued with specialized services. By following this form and the recommendation slash requirement, we are unable to offer that at this point in time. Personally, and a superintendent, I'm very disturbed and troubled with that matter, because the number of these programs and students that are in these programs need to continue for some of the aforementioned reasons already shared. But again, by attesting to it, I must follow, Mr. Blevins must direct me to follow what the rules are. And I think like anything else, you're gonna see some morphing that occurs over the course of time, and we'll get some additional input and insight as to some of the evolving rules. Does that answer your question, Mrs.
And then that also, when you talk about, it did. And then when you're talking about the specialized classrooms, you also are including all LIU classrooms that are operating in our building too. So if we close a building, LIU operated classrooms must also close, correct?
That is correct. So we are permitted to maintain our staff here to offer a remote instruction, but we're not permitted to allow our students to attend.
Okay, thank you.
Any other clarifying questions? Okay, seeing none, I would ask for someone to please make a motion to the motion as presented in our materials is the authorization for the board president and superintendent to sign the PA Department of Health and Education attestation form after selecting the first option to allow for the continuation of in-person instruction for all or some of the DASD students. And just to be clear, if after deliberation we vote yes, then that motion carries. If we vote no, at 5 o'clock today, we will be a totally remote district. So could I please have someone make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Okay, now's the time for any board deliberation before we vote. So I would encourage you to speak up with any comments you have.
I'll go ahead and start, Mr. Blevins. I just want to thank the administration, thank the staff for everything that they're doing to try to keep our schools open. This has not been an easy task. I know that the parents have reached out to us in both sides, in closing the schools and keeping our schools open. I just hope that they understand that every day that our administrators and staff and what they're faced with, they're not faced with just educating our students. They're faced with keeping our students and our families safe. They have to make decisions on a daily basis, multiple times, on how to keep our kids safe, how to keep our kids in school. It's just it's amazing in what they have to do. So I cannot express my thanks enough for everyone that is at Dallas Town. It ranges from the custodians all the way up to the Dr. Dahl. The things that you guys are doing to keep our schools open and to keep our kids safe, I truly, truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Houston.
Mr. Winger.
Yeah, I totally agree with Mrs. Houston. I think the administration, the staff have gone well above and beyond the call of duty, and certainly appreciate everything that they've done. But in all candor, look around our community, look around our state, look around our country. Nobody's getting ahead of this thing. We're all slipping behind. And I think that even if you look at some of the terminology we use, I think that we're using the wrong terminology about things that are going on. I think we use the term social distancing when we shouldn't. We should be doing the opposite of social distancing. We should be physically distancing, but socially we need to be supportive of one another. We need to be there for each other. And I don't think that we should use that term. But I think a bigger term is when we talk about healthcare workers and we call them the frontline workers or first responders. Well, they're certainly heroes, but I don't see them as frontline workers or first responders. I see the citizens of this country and this state and this community. I see us as the first responders. They're the last responders. They're the ones that have to deal with the decisions that we make, good and bad. They're the ones that are working very, very hard to keep everybody safe, healthy, and well after some people have made poor decisions. And even people who've made good decisions who fall victim to things. I think that we're the frontline workers. We're not heroes, but our decisions certainly are like dominoes that will cause everything behind us to either fall or to stay in place. And I do think that the doors definitely for what's best for kids should be open. But I think prudence would dictate that we pursue across the board closing. Even if you take a look at, you know, we're numbers people. Look at Canada when they had their Thanksgiving on October 12th. The week of Thanksgiving, their numbers went down. But immediately following, their numbers went up. And I think that look at the number of people in the United States who have traveled despite the recommendations not to do that. And I think that there is a massive storm on our horizon, and perhaps now is the time to be proactive and not deal with the here and now, but let's look at the numbers as they are in front of us. I think also, if you take a look at the concerns I have as far as Dallas Town are, is that we've all gone through the tours of the building, and we know that there are some classrooms and some places in our schools where I'm going to call it physical distancing, not social distancing, just are not taking place. Kids are within 2 feet of each other, and it's just, it's not safe, and it's the nature of the beast. Well, if we can't accommodate this physical distancing completely as we should, then we should be realistic and understand that perhaps closing is in our best interest. I do have concern about the cleanliness, and in speaking with staff members who've reached out to me, having the same concern. And one of the parents or one of the people who called in summed it up very nicely too, is that we are, by staying open, we're endangering not only the students, but the staff members who have to be in front of these students each and every day. And additionally, in-person education is not what in-person education used to be. Teachers can't do the same presentation. I know one teacher reached out to me this week and said, I can't even give kids stickers for a job well done. And so it's not what it used to be. And perhaps we just need to take a step back and look at the overall picture. And again, the storm that's on our horizon. Again, I know school, the doors being open are what's best. I know parents when the school closes, they have a difficult time. But there are creative ways that parents can solve that problem that can be pursued in keeping everybody safe. You know, our administration, and Sue said it best, our administration is doing an outstanding job, but they're juggling an awful lot right now. If you take a look, their job is to balance safety, educational needs, contact tracing, staffing needs, economics, and that list goes on and on. But when we take a look at the Pennsylvania Department of Health, their only focus is safety. And maybe we should be listening to them a little bit more and take a look at what their focus is. They've got more data than we're ever going to have. I think they see the storm on the horizon. And again, I can't reiterate enough that I know schools should be open, but we've got to make sure that everybody has a safe tomorrow. And I know that this vote is actually an exercise in futility because Dr. Dahl and Mr. Blevins don't need to have our support behind this. And I appreciate the opportunity to have the opportunity to share my thoughts. And just because of my feelings, I will not be voting to continue in-person instruction for everything that I just said. And I do appreciate the opportunity to share my point of view. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Wingard. Anyone else?
I'll go next, Mr. Blevins.
Okay,
I just have about 90 seconds here, and speaking more probably to the public and to the folks in Harrisburg, with some frustration that I think maybe as a board we all share. You know, first and foremost, I do want to thank Dr. Dahl and Mr. Blevins for bringing this matter to the full board. I don't think it was required or necessary, but I think in the matter of transparency to the parents, to the staff and to our constituents and to the rest of the board, I want to thank them for taking that step. You know, in August, this board sided with kids. It was a long meeting. It was a hard meeting, but we sided with the kids and we made it a lot farther than even I, who was steadfast in supporting in person, made it. One of the things that we did at that time that I don't think we properly communicated to the public was we also gave the administration the authority to close a building if and when they deemed it necessary, as evidenced by the decision to close the high school, middle school. And I think I can't applaud the administration enough. You know, this goes to what Mrs. Houston said, and I couldn't say it better than she did. You know, the administration, the staff, the teachers all have done a fantastic job with getting us back to school and mitigation efforts. And the thing that nobody sees is the contact tracing. And, you know, Dr. Heffler, you know, fantastic job. It is tremendous, the work that goes into the contact tracing. I've seen it. We've all seen it. We've seen the charts and the connections and who gets quarantined. And it's what's necessary to keep the kids in school. And our numbers are reflecting that. My big problem is that the state has given us local, at the beginning gave us local control, and now they're taking it back. Apparently some school districts in the state aren't doing what the state wanted them to. And so now we're just going to cede that authority again. If we vote against this, we lose all control if and when to return. You know, that's sort of problematic in that, as Dr. Dahl mentioned during the presentation, even if we go back to the moderate category, there's nothing in the order that says once that happens, we can return. We will have given away all decision-making authority as a school board on when and if our children go to school. That concerns me greatly. They're really forcing their guidelines, their quote unquote recommendations from August into mandates without calling them mandates. They're essentially coercing us into agreeing to that. And I don't have a problem agreeing to those things in order to give our students a chance. I am concerned by some in the public and in the media that talk about following the science. I think what they really mean is follow whatever science agrees with their perspective and ignore the science that doesn't. I for one have become very skeptical about all the science. I'm not sure I believe anybody anymore, but the CDC has been held up as the standard bearer for science. Mask mandates were CDC related. Social distancing, or as Mr. Wingard says, physical distancing was CDC mandated. Most all the guidance that we've received is CDC guidelines, CDC guidelines, CDC guidelines. So we can't pick and choose what CDC guidance we follow. We either trust the CDC or we do not trust the CDC. And Dr. Redfield, who is the director of the CDC, has gone public and on television and has said that school is the safest place for children. So we can't accept half of the CDC guidelines and reject that statement out of hand because we don't believe it personally. The orders that the administration and Dr. Dahl and Dr. Heffler are receiving are conflicting, they're confusing, and they're ever-changing. And it's difficult waters for our administration team to navigate. If you just look at the quarantine orders, someone, and I'm sorry, I've gone over 90 seconds, but I just want the public to understand what our administration is dealing with. A family of four with a teacher as a parent, a high schooler and an elementary student get on an airplane. I get on that same airplane. We all fly to Chicago. I get off the airplane. I take an Uber to a lake cabin and I spend a week by myself in a cabin. I get back on it and then I come back to the airport. That family of four goes to downtown Chicago. They shop, they stroll the city streets, they eat at restaurants, they do whatever. We meet back at the airport, we take the same airplane home. I must quarantine for 14 days when I've been around, I've been on the same airplane, but I've been by myself. When that family of four returns home, the teacher must quarantine, the high schooler must quarantine, but the elementary student who is exposed to every level along the line as the parent and the high schooler doesn't have to quarantine because they're under 11 years of age. these are the kinds of guidelines that people are saying we should be following, and they're very difficult to follow, and sometimes they don't make any sense. So I'll end here. I'll make the same comments I made in August. By making this choice, while we do cede control over to these grids, at least it gives this board a chance. It gives this board some control, and it gives us the authority to give Dr. Dahl the authority to do what's right for Dallas Town and the Dallas Town parents and Dallas Town students, rather than accepting one broadsword approach that will impact all 500 districts in the state of Pennsylvania equally without regard for their numbers, their cases, and their levels. Thank you for indulging me, Mr. Blevins. With that, I will be supporting this because I have trust in administration. I have trust in Dr. Dahl. And I want to just, again, I'll commend him and Dr. Heffler, all the custodians, all the staff, all the teachers for the fantastic job that's been accomplished since the beginning of school. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pantana. Mrs. Trout.
So I'll try to be brief. I want to thank everyone, Dr. Dahl, administration. I really want to thank the teachers and the paraprofessionals, the aides, the van drivers, the bus drivers, the custodians, all of the staff. This is not easy for anybody. And I just want to thank everybody for doing their best, masking up, washing their hands. I really implore the students and the families to do their part as well. We all need to, you know, keep our distance and wash our hands and follow the protocols to try to stay in school as long as we can, because I think that in school is really important. My heart does go out to all the people who have exposure, but hopefully I'm saying, you know, the community needs to do its part. With this attestation, I don't want to lose control. I don't like the option that Dr. Dahl is not recommending, that we don't even know when we might be able to reopen again. So I don't want to lose that control. I want to have as much local control as we can. This doesn't mean that if there's a flare-up, Dr. Dahl can't decide to close. You know, if something pops up that we're uncomfortable with, we still have the ability to close if we need to. But I don't like not knowing when we might be able to reopen. So I will be supporting Dr. Dahl's recommendation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Trout. Anyone else?
If I can go ahead next, Mr. Blevins.
Sure, Mr.
I'm also going to support this as well. I think this is our next logical step. I do hear what Mr. Wingard is saying, and I think the administration is aware and sensitive to the need for caution. This is a lot different conversation now as we approach December than we did in August. As full transparency to the public, a good majority of our board have been personally touched in our families with COVID and exposures. So it is real and it's out there. I just see the key word after we get past the need for caution, the key word that Dr. Dahl offered to us was flexibility. And I think, you know, one of the commenters made the same statement that the issue in front of us isn't long-term. This is just signing this form and the next step. So again, with caution and flexibility, I see the youngest, I think this gives the school district the best way to meet the needs of the kids and gives us the flexibility. The elementary kids are clearly responding to this point and the data supporting that. And they're the ones that need to be face-to-face with teachers if at all possible. So again, I'm just trying to keep things as open as possible. I trust the administration. Let's monitor the numbers. Let's be prepared to make the call when we need to, when the numbers warrant. But I think this is the next logical step and I'm supporting it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lytle. Anyone else?
Yes, Mr. Blevins, just a comment from me. I echo the comments of the others, including Mrs. Trout. I believe that, I know this is a very difficult decision. I know this is a very difficult decision that was being made by this board back in August. And I just want to say, I highly support Dr. Dahl's recommendation as well, that it is very important. It's crucial that at this time, what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance the safety and health and well-being of our students and our faculty and the educating staff, along with the need to educate the students. And this, as has been said multiple times before, has allows us to keep that control, allows us to do what we need to do, and helps us continue to make the decisions we need to do the best that we can, as this board and the school district has been doing, to make sure that we educate our students and do that in person as best as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kapelik. Last but certainly not least, Mrs. Hostler.
Thank you, Mr. Blevins. Good morning. I would just like to say that I respect everyone's viewpoints and their passionate stance on the topic, including the people who have spoke today. I think personally, we have effectively and successfully operated with three learning options since September 8th. Our first closure came 10 weeks in to school, 10 weeks, which I think speaks volumes for our staff and our custodial staff and buildings and grounds for everything they have been doing to maintain schools. Our face-to-face instruction, as you all know, I think is critical to our district. And that is proven just by the numbers of how many students we still have in our brick and mortar schools. And I know that number is turning around. I know more students have come back. But we have buildings that are thriving. Our elementary and intermediate schools are doing phenomenal. In my opinion, it would be a disservice to those students, those families, those educators to go fully remote at this time. They are developed routines. They have acclimated to the new learning environment and they're excelling. We don't have any data right now, in my opinion, that warrants us to close down. And we talk about the new mandates that were just released. We spoke in our August board meeting about mandates and how hard it was going to be on our teachers and our staff. And what we continually say now, board meeting after board meeting, is how phenomenal our buildings, our staff, our students are doing with the mandates, how well everybody is doing. So they're going to take these new guidelines and they're going to make it work just like they did with the rest of them. And I fully believe that they're going to adapt to these situations. And by continuing with face-to-face instruction, it still gives Dr. Dahl the authority to close down should he deem it necessary before the matrix requires it. So I trust and appreciate how Dr. Dahl has operated thus far, handling our school district building per building and with our face-to-face instruction. So I fully support continuing with face-to-face and just thank everybody for their continued support in the community and doing their part to keep everybody safe. So thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Hostler. And I will express my opinion. I am very sympathetic with the comments of Mr. Wingard. And I share his fear of what's going to happen in the days and weeks that lie ahead. That said, I really believe that we will have ample opportunities in pretty short order, should it be necessary, in the opinion of Dr. Dahl and the administration, for us to go beyond the matrix and on our own extend the closures beyond what's mandated. If we choose option two, then our flexibility is taken away. So option one does not preclude, as Dr. Dahl pointed out earlier, does not preclude going over and beyond the matrices should we find it to be in the best interest of Dallas Town. But choosing option two pretty much locks us in and takes away all of our control until such time as York County would revert back into a moderate status. So, and who knows how long that would be. So for that reason, I think choosing option one gives us the most control as a district. I agree with the opinions that particularly in the elementary grades, it is so important for our kids to be in school. And I think some of the directives that are opinions and statements that are being made in Washington just the past few days clearly indicate that the health experts are saying things like close the bars but leave the schools open. and so particularly as it applies to our K-6 students, I agree with that. So for that reason, those reasons, I will be supporting the recommendation of the administration. So does anyone else have anything to say before we vote? Okay, again, the motion has been put forth and seconded, and a yes vote means we adopt option one of the attestation form. A no vote means that we would choose option two. So with that, Mrs. Kirby, call the roll, please.
Mrs. Houston?
Yes.
Mrs. Hostler?
Yes.
Mr. Kopelik?
Yes.
Mr. Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Pantano?
Yes.
Mrs. Trout?
Yes.
Mr. Wingard?
No, ma'am.
And Mr. Blevins?
Yes. Okay, the motion has carried. Thank you all for your sincere thoughts and deliberations. And once again, I would echo the thanks that several of the board members have stated to our teachers, to our staff, to our administrators for the outstanding job they've done under very, very difficult and constantly changing circumstances. So thank you very much. Dr. Dahl, I believe you had a couple more slides that you wanted to go over.
Yes, and thank you, Mr. Blevins. Prior to getting those slides, just a quick thought. I do thank the board for your thoughtful deliberation. I thank the community for supplying the input. I do think where we are currently, it is the best option. But with that said, I will remind everyone moving into after 5 p.m. today, these rules now apply. And I think Mr. Wingard has some great wisdom and insight. And I think what we're electing to do, just to frame it up, is the proactive versus the reactive posture. We will be in a reactive posture. Just as I was sitting here listening to you deliberate, we also had a positive case that came in from the high school. So those are the types of things that will come in, and as they start to tally up, will force us into closure. So for families that want us to continually remain open, I just strongly encourage you to please get your house in order when it comes to providing some type of suitable educational placement if you need childcare during this time, because we will comply with this upcoming matter. And at the same time, and I think our community overall has done a good job, but we want to encourage, if you're one that's following expectation, please encourage those around you to do the same. Because I think ultimately, in my opinion, it will be the community that will determine when we close and when we open based on these cases. Finally, just a thank you to our team. I'm going to start with Dr. Heffler, who's just been a spearhead of our pandemic coordinator. She has been phenomenal in navigating a lot of great and difficult situations. Our administrative team has just continued over the weekend, giving up their break to navigate this. And certainly our leadership among the association, working closely with them. And one person I want to point out is Mrs. Jen Koyman. She's our lead nurse. She has really been our internal expert, the source of all when it comes to COVID-19 related issues. And she has just really put her life on hold for her own young family many times since the start of the year, just to help us navigate. So it's a collective effort, and I thank the team that I'm blessed to work with. So with that said, just two quick points of matter. The first has to do with the travel restriction. Prior to our holiday closure, you will recall Secretary Levine updated the PA travel restriction. So this restriction now only applies, and I think Mr. Pantano mentioned this, to travelers over the age of 11 entering or returning to PA. So in essence, several of our elementary learners, if travelers traveling outside of the state, no longer need to quarantine or seek a COVID-19 test. The same applies to any individual traveling and returning to PA less than 24 hours. And finally, since this is a question that's been heavily surfaced in our district, individual students traveling to comply with a court order, you may have a family member, a parent or guardian that lives in Maryland, for instance, and that child transports back and forth from PA to Maryland, they are exempt from the travel restriction. So, you know, it goes to show that what we share today may not be in place later today. And I learned early this morning that the secretary, acting Secretary of Education and Secretary Levin apparently will be holding a press conference later today on, so we will have to see what that will unveil. And that may be a reiteration of what we've covered today, or it may be some new tentacles to that piece as well. The last matter just has to do with other items related to indoor capacities. Just as we navigated our fall sports season, we are in the process of kicking off and navigating our winter season. So a controversial and complicated issue we had to navigate in the fall related to capacities, and that's attendees in certain areas. So we will again need to limit, and that's based on what we are agreeing and you voted on today. These are now not just recommendations, these are requirements that we're only permitted 10% capacity per indoor facility. So Mr. Luckenball, our athletic director, pulled together just to give you a sense of what this means for our district. So take the high school gymnasium as an example. The way it is set up, 10%, it only allows 110 individuals to participate or attend an event. So basketball and wrestling, as an example, you're at 90 and 80. So if you're a basketball, that gives us only 20 additional seats for public to utilize. Wrestling, that will give us 30 additional seats. So I think we have to be very clear that we're going to have limited participation, especially from families. And having children that play sports, that's a tough pill to swallow. But we will continue the live stream. When you get into the middle school gymnasium, for instance, that is 75, and you know, basketball in there, that only gives us really 10 seats. The challenge with the swimming pool area, the auditorium, we're only allowed 50 capacity, but just athletes and essential staff alone is 100. So we're going to have to be creative in how we cycle individuals in and out to utilize that space. So I just want to put it on the board's radar and our public radar that please be, you know, sympathetic when it comes to, I do not want to make this a political statement. I do not want to have a great debate on this. This is what the rule is that Mr. Blevins and I are agreeing to. And in essence, we are going to comply. And I think for our public to quickly understand what the rules of engagement are, because we are forced to conform as an organization. So again, just more information for the board and our public as we navigate this global pandemic in the Dallas Town Area School District. But thank you for your time and your attention.
Thank you, Dr. Dahl. Now we'll move to the second and final opportunity for public comment. As we did previously, if anyone on Zoom would like to make a comment, indicate your desire by using the raise hand feature on your screen. And when it's your turn to speak, you'll be recognized and asked to unmute your microphone and be asked to state and spell your name and give your address.
Mr. Blevins, we do have a couple hands raised. The first hand raised is Aislinn Cunningham. Aislinn, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Hi. Dr. Dole, I know that you are not in an easy situation. And I support that our students have the opportunity still to be in person, but I want to kind of look at the community as a whole. We as Dallas Town do not live in a Dallas Town bubble.
And we keep talking about local control, but most of us work and go out, go to the stores, go in places that aren't just our school district. And we have to keep that in mind. Mr. Weingard made an excellent point when he said, we're not ahead of this, we're behind this. And, you know, we have to look, I want to say that we've all sided with kids, even if we, that comment was made, we sided with kids in the fall, but I do actually think we sided more with emotions and not science. I did choose for my kids to go in person because it is the best way they learn, but I also support and will choose to educate my kids if we have to go remote. I can't imagine that the middle school and high school is going to be open very long. I mean, daily emails about positive cases, let's be real. But I have to point out that we have to side with the adults sometimes too. You cannot run schools without staff. It just doesn't happen. And we spend a lot of time talking about the kids, but who do we think's teaching these kids? These are adults. And we have to look at that side too. And I just had one more clarification in terms of the numbers, and that is, how are remote learners counted in a building if they also play sports? So thank you for all that you do. And I'm okay with that we're signing this. And I think that, you know, local control means being responsible. And if people want their kids in school, they need to wear their mask and they need to wash their hands and they need to practice physical distancing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, next hand raised is Rose Beal. Rose, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Hello. I'm actually her son, and she was just in a very important phone call, and she asked me to speak for her. One of the things I would like to say in particular is she is also a van driver, and because of this school being closed, it's been very hard on her, and she's been having to rely on me not getting distracted, which I'm not very good at. And to be honest, I think the schools like this should probably stay open. I mean, you guys already voted on that, and I thank you guys for agreeing with us students. But my main thing is, at home, I struggle, and my teachers struggle at the school, even on Zoom. But the Zoom doesn't always work. Sometimes it's really laggy, and there's a lot of different problems with it. So we can't actually learn well all the time. We try our best, but it doesn't always work. It doesn't work as well as if we're in school personally. And it's really kind of important to us because some of us, specifically me, who don't exactly learn too well online, we can get distracted easily. Well, we prefer to be in school. And what my mom wanted to ask was, how does a case that happened while we're out of school, all the students are out of school, how does that count as a case towards the school when no one's in school right now? Thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you.
Mr. Blevins, the next hand raised is Ellen Connolly. Ellen, you should be able to unmute yourself.
Thank you, Tom. Ellen Connolly, president of the Teachers Association. Thank you, everyone, again, for all of your time and investment in our district. Just basically wanting to reiterate what a lot of our board members have addressed, and appreciate the fact that they are not oppressed in being able to express their opinions. And again, it's just another sign of the collaborative efforts that we have in the direction, for our school district. So thank you again for that. I reiterate one statement that our learning options have been very effective, and they are ongoing and developing every day. They remain effective. I think they're improved upon every day, and that's the efforts of our administration, all of our teachers, our paraprofessionals, our department heads, everyone working together, our subject area leaders. That does not come easy, but I think the public needs to know that it is looked at on a daily basis every day. When we don't have students in front of us, we have curriculum in front of us, and we have the needs of our students emotionally and socially in front of us through our counseling department as well and pupil services. Reiterating as well, it's true, we are not physically distanced in a majority of our day in a majority of our large buildings. It's not possible. So we do need to maintain our diligence and be vigilant with our safety. It is a huge layer. We're educators, and it's true. During a pandemic, we are forced into seeing it through the eyes of a healthcare facilitator. I don't want to say that our staff is scared, because when that word is used, unfortunately, people get defensive, and it becomes an area where you can criticize someone. So I feel more comfortable saying that we need to embrace the fact that our staff, not just teachers, we feel vulnerable every day. That's not normal. It is normal to have that feeling in a profession that works with human beings every day, but it's not normal to have to be vulnerable every day. It is emotionally and physically exhausting for us, and that is every adult that is coming in contact with our students. So that's a very difficult demand for us to maintain that emotional status and still do a job well. Another comment about, it seemed a little bit of frustration that we're being asked by so many organizations to be flexible and to change, and here comes orders and mandates. We are a premier district. I started teaching in this district as a student teacher in 1987. This district is flexible. We can change. We change every day. Education changes all the time. It's the profession we're in. I think 99.9% of the administration and the staff, we embrace that. We embrace it because we are confident in our abilities. And so I think we need, moving forward, we need to get that out of the conversation. That never stops in education. And unfortunately, it's a layer of again, a healthcare pandemic. But we're not afraid of change, and we're not going to be frustrated by it as a staff. One thing I want to also bring to the attention of our directors and the public is the collaboration that takes place every day. Our administrators that work with us directly, I'm very comfortable saying the attitude is, we can't think of everything, so please come talk to me. That's me as a president of the association, because I fill the seat, but it's also every single individual that's in working with students. The doors are open, and we appreciate that. We don't always agree, and we get frustrated with each other. That's what happens in stressful times. But the culture of our district right now, inside our buildings, is again, please come talk to me, because I can't think of everything as an administrator. So we appreciate that. There's no denying this is very difficult, but I'm proud of all of our educators. And when I say educators, I mean every single adult that works with students to help them grow into eventually healthy adults. And that's coaches, trainers, cafeteria workers, drivers, every single person that comes in contact with our students makes a difference. They have the capabilities of making a difference. And we're all staying, we're all showing up, and we're doing the best job we can. So I just appreciate that with everyone that that's here for the best interest of our kids.
Thank you, Mrs. Conley.
Mr. Blevins, at this time, there are no other hands raised.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your comments. Very much appreciated. Now's the time for any board comments or correspondence. Seeing none, The calendar of events is posted for your review. And with no objection, the meeting is adjourned.